Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Was off yesterday. I could hardly talk, so I apologize for that, but definitely a tough deal yesterday. Back at it today and feeling a lot better. I struggled through those two semi-state games up at Newcastle over the weekend, but glad to be back at it today and feeling a lot better and excited about the NCAA tournament that starts a little bit later on tonight. Welcome into our Tuesday show. Let's look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a moment, a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the daily headlines, and we've got plenty to get to today here in just a moment. Also coming up a little bit later, Mike Schumann will join us around 11:25 today in segment two, and then later in the show, Brownstown coach Dave Benner will be our guest. Coach Benner leading his Braves to the 2A state championship game coming up on Saturday. They're the favorite against Wapahani, and we've got Brownstown, and Scottsburg both playing for state championships from Southern Indiana, 2A and 3A state championships. We'll see if we can have some locals win it coming up today. That will be fun. Also, a little bit later in the show, we'll get into some more high school stuff as well. I want to recap things from over the weekend with Jeffersonville. Coach Wilkerson did an outstanding job this season. His players had a great year and a great tournament. They came so close to getting to the state championship game, amazingly close. But we'll recap all that coming up here in just a bit. That's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for great sandwiches and soups and salads that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. And we're going to head to a commercial break. We've got some technical things to figure out here. We'll be back after a quick break. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Kraft Sporting Goods is Southern Indiana's team sports specialist and is your local Adidas team product dealer. Kraft specializes in outfitting your team, organization, club, or business in apparel, hard goods, and accessories from Adidas and many others. Kraft offers fundraising opportunities for your team, organization, or club through online web stores. Let our friendly staff get you started today by calling 812-282-5400.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday show. I think we got everything worked out. Glad to have you with us. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards and receive 25 cents off per gallon. plus great weekly fuel offers that you can't pass up. You can download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. That's Thornton's Refreshing Rewards. Download the app today. Justin Kalin, producer, with me here in this opening segment. Justin, I know I missed yesterday, so that was a great opportunity to recap things over the weekend, and that was a great, obviously, chance to talk about NCAA tournament stuff. But we'll still do some of it today. I know it's probably been worn out a little bit yesterday on sports radio, but I've got to say this. I've got to get this off my chest. I just absolutely, now that it's here and there's all the excitement for the tournament, even though I understand Indiana fans are obviously disappointed the Hoosiers aren't in the dance, and that does change things if your team is not in it. But I just cannot understand. You announce the brackets. You've got all this momentum on a Sunday night, headed into a big week of basketball. Everybody can't wait for Thursday and Friday to get here. And instead of the headlines Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday being dominated about the matchups and your picks and your pairings and all that, it's about the transfer portal. And we could go through 12 different names right now that Indiana, and I'm guessing here, that Indiana has contacted or reached out to, because we know there's going to be lots of transfer portal recruitment and activity this offseason by Mike Woodson and his coaching staff, given some turnover that's expected in the roster and given there needs to be some major repairs and steps forward for next season. How does the NCAA open up the transfer portal to four-year players? Obviously, it's already been open for a week or so to graduate players. I understand that. But how do they open it up to everybody and for schools to begin to pursue them on the same day that the week of the tournament begins? How does it happen during the tournament? How does it not happen once the college basketball season, at least we get to the latter stages of the tournament where maybe we're down to the Final Four or whatever? How does this happen, and how does it continue to happen, and can it go another year this way? This is terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it doesn't make much sense, does it? But the one thing it does do, and this is why Indiana declined the NIT invite, so they could just go ahead and get a jump on this thing. So it's not ideal. I'll be the first to tell you that. But what it does do, Matt, is, and I'm not saying I'm in favor of it, but if you do open it this early, doesn't it kind of give the teams that missed the NCAA tournament a jump start on things? Like, isn't that how it should be, that they get the early first choices of the guys that they want to try to go out and get because they, if they're not in the tournament, didn't have a great year this year? I mean, I'm not saying it's right. That's the only way I can try to break it down and make it make sense. Because, yeah, I'm with you. I just don't think it does make a whole lot of sense. It seems too early. Let this season conclude, and then we can jump into all this, right?
If that is the advantage, if that's the intended advantage, and I guess I hadn't thought of it that way, I would understand it. But didn't the NCAA purchase, or don't they now run the NIT?
They do.
And so it's just killing the NIT. I mean, there's been, what, five or six really good programs, including Indiana, that have opted out of the NIT, and it really hurts that tournament. And I guess the first point I wanted to talk about was the transfer portal opening while the tournament's still going on. The second point, since it's been brought up, I'll go ahead and get there, is I am for basketball. I am for basketball games. I am for watching the Hoosiers, the Cardinals, whoever, whether it's the NCAA or the NIT tournament. I do not understand the thought of not playing in the NIT tournament, because you have seniors that may never get a chance to play basketball again. You have seniors that may not be NBA guys that need additional film to go overseas. Those practices for next year and additional games have a lot of value, because, you know, once you get into the offseason, there's strict limitations on what you can and can't do. Everybody wants a foreign trip these days so they can get practices and games in. Well, here's the NIT. It's a guaranteed number of practices and at least a game. In IU's case, could have been 2, 3, 4 games. They were playing better until Nebraska just shot the heck out of the basketball. I don't understand it. If it's because of the transfer portal that you feel like the staff is on the hot seat and they need to focus in on that and bringing in players and making those contacts, the NCAA has to do something about it, because it's going to kill the NIT. The NIT may be dead at this point already, but I just, two things have gotten under my skin. I don't understand the transfer portal deal when all the media attention on a little radio show like this should be about the NCAA tournament and the great matchups that are coming up this week. It shouldn't be on who the 12 players that Indiana's reached out to and the list of these guys. They're hearing from 20 and 30 schools hours after they get officially into the transfer portal. It's nuts. Let's wait later in March or till the Final Four week or even after the tournament to open up the transfer portal, and let's save the NIT. Let's play more basketball. If somebody wants to opt out because of injury or fear of injury or NBA potential, that's fine. That's happened before. Just think about how the College Bowl stuff works. But to me, a couple major things, and they're interconnected, is the transfer portal going on while the season is still rolling, and the NIT tournament, people opting out of that is a whole program, a whole team. If it's because of the portal, they're obviously interconnected. It needs to be changed.
Well, and my thing is it's kind of multi-layered, right? I mean, you've got the transfer portal opening up, and then you've got the whole nil thing. So I don't know if it opens up this early just because you've got to do the whole stuff with nil and figure out guys' worths and name, image, and all that stuff. Like, I don't know if that's the reason it's opening so early, but, I mean, like I said in the opening phrase there, I mean, the only thing I can think of is the fact that you're giving teams an advantage who didn't make the tournament to try to bolster their rosters. But it kind of leaves the teams that are in the tournament out in the cold. I mean, by the time they're done playing and they can get into the transfer portal stuff, then it may be too late. There's not going to be many options left. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be making more of a stink about it if I'm a team in the NCAA tournament. What do you want us to do, practice and play these games and concentrate on the portal as well? Meanwhile, I have no idea who on my team's going to be back and who isn't. So, yeah, it's all very muddy, very murky. I'm not a fan of the way it works. And, hey, look, just think about it this way. If they were to do it after the NCAA tournament, that gets people talking about college basketball even longer than they already do. I mean, we're going to go up to the first, second week of April. People will still be talking about college basketball. But if you open it, say, April 15th, that's when the transfer portal date opens. You're going to have people talking about college basketball up through May. So I think it'd be good and benefit the NCAA if they were to back it off. So I don't know. I'd love to hear from somebody who has more insight, because I don't know why it starts as early as it does.
Yeah, very frustrating, hard to understand NCAA.
But hey, for us as Indiana fans, me specifically, I mean, it makes it interesting for me. I mean, I'm still going to pay attention to the NCAA tournament, do my bracket, all that stuff. But now, instead of not worrying about Indiana, now I can kind of pay attention to the Indiana side of things. And look, hey, they're going after this guy. This guy's interested in Indiana. So we get all that now instead of having to watch everybody else have fun in the NCAA tournament. So there is that upside to it.
Somebody said this yesterday. What's going on right now is like NBA free agency happening during the NBA playoffs.
No doubt.
I mean, that would be madness. It would never happen. So that's basically where we're at now in college sports. So why is it happening here? So positives and negatives, but I think just a lot of confusion, a lot of things on top of each other right now that just simply don't make sense to me. So I'm going to be real curious. The NCAA has never been an organization that's quick to react or quick to make a change or, hey, we made a mistake, or, hey, we're going to go back and revisit this rule. It normally takes forever to get some things done. But guess what? It's a new world in college sports. NIL and all this stuff is changing the game. So the NCAA has to react and act differently, in my opinion, if they're going to survive long term. And I'm not sure that I would bet on the NCAA, at least with the Indianas and the high major schools and the major conferences, to survive, to be quite honest with you. I think that's probably the next thing on the chopping block to be changed in major college sports. But that's another conversation for another day. The other question I wanted to bring up with you, I actually had three things. One was this stuff we just talked about. The second was the transfer portal from an IU perspective, because as we get into NCAA talk this week, we're not going to be talking about the Hoosiers. We'll be talking about Indiana and who they're reaching out to in the portal, trying to add here now that they've officially entered off-season mode. I'm a little surprised, and maybe I've missed something this morning, but I'm a little surprised that it is Tuesday. The Hoosiers were done on Friday night. The portal opened officially yesterday morning. It's midday Tuesday as this podcast, this radio show is taking place, and there have been no defections announced from the program yet. I thought there would be maybe some quick entries into the portal from the current IU roster.
Yeah, Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not really surprised by that. I think when you think back to this team and all the pieces they have, and I don't see like a Mackenzie Mbako, Malik Renew. I don't see either of them wanting to go anywhere, especially Malik Renew, because he's been around the program for a couple years. It's a place where he's gotten comfortable. And hey, maybe these guys just really like Mike Woodson. And you had Trey Galloway late last week say he had the whole line about how, hey, we're going into offseason mode and I'm going to be recruiting everybody. So maybe it's something like Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, those older guys getting in the ear of everybody on this team. Like, hey, we've got the right pieces. We can make some noise. We just need to add additional pieces. So, yeah, I don't know if that has something to do with it. Maybe Trey and Anthony doing some recruiting within the team. But I too, am a little bit surprised that we haven't heard any rumblings of anybody hopping in the portal. Maybe like a CJ Gunn could be a good candidate for something like that. I'm not to just throw names out there, but yeah, I really just feel like everybody on this team could come back in a world where we are dealing with the transfer portal. That seems weird to say, but that is how I feel. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out eventually, but I know Indiana's been in on a couple of names in the transfer portal, but yeah, as far as them actually having guys enter, haven't heard anything myself either.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see. I mean, there has to be some defections from this program.
You would think. Yeah.
I think if you're an Indiana fan, you hope it's not Mbako, unless it's just to test the NBA waters. I think you hope it's not Renew, and there are probably cases you could make for other players, but those are some of the key ones. Obviously, I think Ware is, you know, we're going to get into that later in the week, but I think Ware is got to try the NBA, and I can't see a situation with the season he had where he won't be considered at a reasonable level for the draft. But going to be interesting to see. And Indiana, I'm not even going to go through the names yet, but Indiana's, I mean, they're involved already in a ton of different names. It almost doesn't even make sense to mention names because there are so many, and you know that there's no way it's all going to pan out. So let's see who Indiana really gets serious with, who's interested in Indiana, who makes comments in interviews and other ways that can get out that they're serious about Mike Woodson and the Hoosiers, and we'll start to get into some of those players and what the roster next year could look like. Justin, the final thing that I want to spend a few minutes talking with you about before we get to break is the Jeffersonville Red Devils and Sherron Wilkerson. They had an outstanding season, and it was so fun to cover this team the last 3 weeks in the state tournament. At Seymour, they breezed past the competition. They looked really good that week. They beat a good Evansville-Harrison team. It was a battle, but they beat them in the regional last week. And then on Saturday at the semi-state, I really wasn't sure what to expect. I knew that this Jeff team was playing well. I know they've got the right pieces, albeit most of them are underclassmen, to maybe get to a state championship game. But I really felt like Lawrence North was a big favorite based on what I know about that team and some of their players. And Jeffersonville got down two different times by 10 points. They were able to come back. They battled and battled and battled, and they found themselves in a tight ball game at the end, and somehow they managed to win the game and move on to the semi-state championship game that night. It was a great effort by Jeffersonville. Then they come back on Saturday night against Ben Davis, the defending champions, and they play really, really well. They had a chance to win. They were up 6 on two different occasions. They were up 4 or so points with 1:20 left, and it just got away from them. I know I said this last night on another podcast that I appeared on. I know there's a lot of heartbreak with Coach Wilkerson for he and his team, and I know Jeffersonville disappointed in how that thing ended on Saturday night, but what a season for Jeffersonville. What a turnaround in that program slowly over the last few years under the direction of Coach Wilkerson. And you get beat, you're sad, you're down, you maybe feel that you should have won that game, and I agree, Jeff should have won that game against Ben Davis, but the best thing is you've got so much of your starting lineup and of your minutes and of your scoring and production coming back next season. And this is just a kudo. I said this last night with some coaching friends that have a podcast up north. But Sherron Wilkerson, what a story, what a coach. And I'm not telling you he's the best coach in the state of Indiana. That's not the point of this. But he is teaching these guys. I have seen it up close and personal. life lessons. These guys are expected to certain, even above what is required, you know, in school to be eligible. They're required certain things in the classroom, required certain things with their teachers. On and off the court, they have been held to an outstanding level. And Sherron Wilkerson got that group to totally buy in and make this great run and set this program up to be one of the front runners in 4A basketball next season. So I can remember years ago, Sherron Wilkerson would talk about wanting to get into coaching. He was coaching travel ball. He wanted to reunite with Bob Knight. He wanted to get back to Jeffersonville someday and be able to play a role in his program that he meant so much to him as a player coming up and being developed. And it's all come true. He's back with Coach Knight. Obviously, Coach Knight is gone, but made that relationship with Pat Knight and Bob Knight a great one before Coach Knight passed. Worked for Pat Knight at the college level for a few years. Got back in high school coaching. Had a couple head coaching jobs. Spent some years as an assistant at Jeffersonville. Now the head coach. And it's like a fairy tale story. He's got him back. He's got him in the semi-state. And who knows what happens in the future. But I wanted to spend a couple minutes today. We talk so much about the players, and we preview all the games, and we talk about all the games. But I want to spend a few minutes talking about Sherron Wilkerson today, because he deserves a lot of credit for what has happened, not just this season, but the slow build to this over the last couple of years in Jeffersonville. It's a new feel with that basketball program, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's done a fantastic job, tip of the hat. And it all started with the scheduling this year, right? I mean, they played a daunting schedule this season. They had, what, 7 home games? So they didn't spend a whole lot of time at home. They were consistently out on the road challenging themselves. And I don't feel like all the time you see a team getting a hard schedule like that or having a hard schedule like that, and it pays off. But for Jeffersonville, it did. I mean, I was listening to that Ben Davis game on Saturday night. There was times when I was like, heck yeah, they're going to do it. They'll be going to state next weekend. And it just didn't quite work out. But I think it all starts with them, with the whole scheduling thing, just going out, really testing yourselves. They played a lot of the best within the state that got them acclimated and ready to take on tournament competition come 4A tournament time. So yeah, hats off to them. Was really happy to see that run. I like Sherron Wilkerson so much. Every time I call him, little inside baseball for the listeners, every time I call him for your show, he's just couldn't be any more nice than he is. So I'm always been a big Sherron Wilkerson fan, always will be a big Sherron Wilkerson fan, and really anxious to see what they're able to do with that squad next year.
You know, it's no secret I'm a New Albany guy. Went to school there.
What?
Was involved there for a number of years with Jim Shannon. But, you know, the neat thing is once we get out of the sectional and you get into the regional, it's okay to pull for these teams or maybe to show a little favoritism. Sure. On our broadcast. And by the time we got to that championship game on Saturday night, I mean, I was probably as tense as the biggest Jeffersonville fan in the gym. And some of it had to do with you kind of get to know the players and you want to see them have success and move on, and you'd like to broadcast another state championship game if you want to be selfish for just a moment. But a big part of it for me was Sherron Wilkerson, and to see him do what he's done and lead that program in the way that he has, and to see that community get back behind this program in the way that they have. It was a special run, and Jeff's going to be a big favorite when we get back into all this stuff next year.
Yeah, like you said, they're young. They're going to continue to have all the pieces going into next season. So, yeah,
all right.
we'll see what happens.
Commercial, for sure. We'll head to a commercial break, and we'll come back with Mike Schumann. We'll get into some IU stuff. We will talk about the transfer portal. We will talk about the NIT decision to not go to the NIT, and a lot more with Mike coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday show. Thornton's text line is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier going to join us here in just a moment. Keep in mind, Dave Benner, coach of Brownstown, is going to join us in the final segment of our show today. Mike Schumann, this is going to be a short one today, but I want to talk to you about the transfer portal. So many names already that Indiana is connected with, and some of these guys that have entered the portal, I mean, they're listing 15, 20, 25 different schools that have reached out to them almost within hours of them officially hitting the portal. Are there any names to watch at this early point? Any names that stand out to you, or is it too early for any of that just yet?
I mean, I'll be the first to admit it's hard to distinguish what's real and what's just kind of, you know, putting a name on a list to make the list look better. You know, I think with agents involved, you have all elements of that kind of stuff going on right now with, hey, Indiana on the list makes this look like a more attractive candidate, that sort of thing. But, you know, there are some folks that I've seen Indiana tied to already here in the last 24 hours that I've been hearing about for the last month or so. You know, someone like Kenan Carlisle out of Stanford, who Indiana, you know, recruited a little bit out of high school, has a connection with Yasir Rosamond, was a former five-star guard who was just one of the, you know, on the Pac-12 all-conference team as a freshman. That's somebody that I think, you know, Indiana will take a good hard look at and see if there's a fit. You know, Javon Small out of Oklahoma State has been really productive there. You know, Indiana has been involved with him going all the way back to 2020 when he was coming out of Franklin Central High School on the south side of Indianapolis. He's somebody I think they're going to take a good hard look at. So those are a couple that stand out to me. But the names are coming just hard and fast right now.
Talking with Mike Schumann of the Daily Hoosier. Also, when it comes to the transfer portal, you mentioned agents and their involvement. Can you explain that and what the involvement of an agent is nowadays with a college player that's looking through the transfer portal for other opportunities, not only a place to play, but also NIL financial opportunities as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's why agents are involved, because it's not just about, you know, playing basketball for a team anymore. There's a financial component to this, and it's not anything nefarious at this point. You know, agents are allowed to be, players are allowed to have agents, and agents are very active. The whole situation with Khalil Ware last year was very much agent driven. It was, you know what, look at what Mike Woodson did to help Trace Jackson Davis get to the NBA. We like that story. Let's go talk to Indiana. That was facilitated in large part by an agent, and it was, you know, obviously well received on both ends. And that's how some of this stuff is coming together. And I think it's just going to continue to be more and more the case, as players, you know, understandably from their perspective, chase the best, you know, not only basketball opportunity, but also the best financial opportunity.
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, joining us today. Indiana spurned an opportunity to go to the NIT tournament. They're going to stay at home, focus on the portal. Obviously, Mike Woodson, I think we all know, senses a lot of pressure there probably for he and his staff to navigate the portal correctly and get things improved and right for next season. Are we witnessing the death of the NIT because of all this going on with the portal overlapping with the NCAA tournament and the NIT, or do you think that there's going to be some rearranging by the NCAA?
I think the NCAA, if they want to keep the NIT, they're going to have to consider another adjustment to the portal calendar, because I think by and large that's why teams like Indiana are taking a pass on it. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense for a staff that needs to go out and get four, five, six players in the portal to, you know, be spending time focused on game planning right now. You know, it can be done. There's certainly ways to go about it. But Indiana's clearly one of the teams that's very focused on getting the portal right this time. And, you know, with the portal opening on the same day or the day after the NIT brackets announced, and you'd be turning around and, you know, doing that dual track of building your roster and game planning for the NIT, I think that's a challenge for the people that want to continue with the NIT going forward to figure out how to make that work for a lot of programs that are going to be in that position. And it's also the case for, you know, teams like Indiana and a lot of others that a lot of the guys that, you know, you may say, well, hey, player X, Y, and Z could really benefit from a lot of playing time in the NIT. Those are a lot of the same players that you might see their names pop in the portal here in the next few days. So it's not just the coaching staff. It's, you know, can you actually put a team on the floor that is, you know, intending to actually play for you next year and would benefit from this experience?
Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier. Mike, we got to head to another break, but as we do, I'd love to know your final four picks on who you've got in your bracket if you've already filled it out.
Yeah, you know, I do think Purdue's going to get there. I do think UConn's going to get there. The you know, the others, I'm not as clear on right now. You know, I could go a lot of different directions, but I think Purdue and UConn are the ones that seem very clear in my mind that's going to be your championship game, barring something unforeseen. I really, you know, I know Indiana fans don't want to hear it about Purdue, but I think they are a very much a different team than what they've been in the past. So the combination of Edie and, you know, four shooters surrounding him at almost all times, and just the addition of the athleticism of Lance Jones, they just look like a completely different team. Obviously, they can lose. You know, they've lost some games to teams that, you know, are, you know, either not in the NCAA at all, or, you know, marginal NCAA teams. So they're not, it's not impossible to think that they're going to lose a game along the way here, especially Kansas is a dangerous team. If they get healthy by that round of 16 game, that's going to be a really tough one for Purdue. But barring something surprising, Purdue and UConn is my pick for the championship game.
All right, Mike Schumann, the Daily Hoosier, with us Tuesdays. Mike, thank you. We'll get back to our longer segment next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Mike Schumann with us. And by the way, Justin and I will get into this probably tomorrow, some bracket picks and kind of keeping track of some stuff here. My final four is Connecticut against Baylor and Kentucky against Tennessee. I've got Tennessee beating Purdue in the Elite Eight round. I do think that bottom quarter of the bracket that Purdue is on is very favorable for them as far as getting a chance to get to the Final Four. But when it came down to it and I had to make the tough pick between the Volunteers and the Boilermakers, I just went the Volunteers way. But I feel good that Connecticut's going to win it. I think most people do, so that's no surprise. It would be tough to see them getting beat, I think, at this point. Kentucky, I've just got this feeling that we know they can score a lot of points. We know that they have some defensive issues, but I just have a feeling that they're going to put a run together in the tournament. I've got them beating Houston in the Elite Eight round and then beating Tennessee in an SEC battle there in the Final Four. So we'll see how it plays out. More predictions coming up. Love to hear your predictions as well, 502-414-1450. Quick commercial break, and then we're going to talk with Brownstown coach Dave Venner. We'll talk about the Braves' semi-state wins on Saturday at Southport and their state championship matchup ahead. And then later in the week, we'll talk with Eric Richardson, the coach of Scottsburg. The Warriors are headed to a 3A state championship game coming up on actually not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday as well. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and running a bit behind today. Want to get to the Thornton's text line real quick. Texter says, the talk today is Dusty May is headed to Louisville. Did IU make a mistake by bringing back Woodson and missing a chance to hire him? I agree, that is the buzz. Who knows what happens, especially with Ohio State filled by interim coach Diebler getting that on a permanent basis. But timing just not right. If it ends up happening that Dusty May is the guy at Louisville, will be really interesting to follow that, because Coach May's team is in the NCAA tournament and I think should win the first game, and then ultimately they're going to have to beat Connecticut if they're going to make any kind of run this year, which I think will be really tough. Also, another text from the Thornton's text line. I said, I know you can't talk about it today, but I would like to know your thoughts on Mike Woodson getting tossed in the Nebraska game. Yeah, we can get into that later. And also pulling for Western Kentucky because of Christian Lander. I think the only team in the tournament with an Indiana connection. Thank you for those texts. Dave Benner, the coach of Brownstown, with us to finish out our Tuesday program. Brownstown, one of the great high school basketball programs in Southern Indiana. Coach Benner does an outstanding job and has been at Brownstown. Now, it's hard to believe, 26 years at Brownstown and all sorts of success there. Coach, congratulations on another great season. I know there's a lot of people and coaches in Southern Indiana that are hoping you can win one more.
Well, I hope so. It's been a real exciting season for us. And, you know, we've battled through a lot of injuries. We've had three main starters in a significant time, but you know, it's been real rewarding, and we were able to persevere and hold on Saturday.
Absolutely. I want to go through those semi-state games quickly with you. You won 50-49, a real thriller. We were tracking that one from the Jeffersonville game at Newcastle. But you guys, a one-point winner over a good Park Tudor team. Take us through the end of that game and how you were able to hang on and get to the semi-state championship.
Well, we were up 7 late in the game, and, you know, we had some guys that were guys. Jack Benner was... He was sick Wednesday through Saturday. So Saturday morning's game was a real struggle for him. He had no energy. It was just a tough game for him to make it through. And Colby Hall, he had missed. He got injured the first defensive possession of the sectional, and he had not played. His conditioning is just, he hadn't been back, you know, for much live practice play. And then Parker Heyman, because Jack being sick, Parker Heyman had to do a lot of the ball handling against their pressure. And so we had some real tired guys late in the game. They pressure. We've played almost every top team in the state, either in the summer or during the season this year. And they pressure as well as anybody in the state. You know, I mean, they did a really nice job pressuring us. And because, you know, I think some of it was because of our injuries and illness that, you know, we struggled with it a little bit at times, but, you know, we just were able to hold on. And we actually scored with, I think, between a minute 20, minute 30 to take a one-point lead after they had tied it up. And then they held the ball for a last-second shot. We had 2 fouls to give. We used both of those. So they had a side out of bounds with 3.7 seconds and kind of took a desperation heave at the buzzer, and we were able to hold on.
Dave Benner talking about semi-state wins on Saturday. And you come back and beat Park Heritage by 10 in the semi-state championship game, and that sets up the state championship game against Wapahani. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want to talk a little bit more about Jack Benner, your son. He's had just an outstanding career at Brownstown. He's headed to Purdue next season, and obviously I know there's a lot of pride from your family and from the Brownstown community on the successes that he has had. But it's also been a tough year for him from a couple different perspectives. You mentioned he had flu-like stuff to deal with this week, and I know was exhausted heading into those games, and he had a more serious injury earlier in the season, which kept him out of some key games for you guys. And on top of that is one of your key players and one of the top guys in the state. Every defense from every team you play is absolutely hounding him and targeting him. So a little bit on Jack's senior year and what this ride has been like for you and him.
It's, you know, you dream about growing up, when he's growing up, that, you know, he can go to a state championship, and he's, you know, thought about that since, you know, he started coming to my practices, I think, at 2 years old. And so the number of shots he's taken in this gymnasium and the amount of time he's put in, it's just, you know, it's really rewarding as a coach and a parent to be able to see, you know, that all come together here his senior year. He was frustrated. You know, we obviously the schedule we've played today, or this year, excuse me, has been an incredible schedule for, especially for like a 2A program. And, you know, we did a lot of that, you know, thinking we were going to be healthy, and then he went down in the Seymour game, the second possession of the game. He hyperextended his knee and strained his calf, so his knee swelled up a little bit, and he missed that next. And we had a game the next day, unfortunately, and he missed that. Came back. We played Scottsburg the following week. Came back. He wasn't 100%, but he played. But within a couple of weeks, that was healed up. And then we went to our holiday tournament, and, you know, it's one of those things. We're up over 30 points in the first half still, and he drove and landed on a kid's foot and got what's called an avulsion fracture in his ankle, just where they treat it like a bad sprain, but it peels off some of the bone, so it swells up a lot of times more. So that caused him to miss the rest of the Bobcat Classic plus the Hall of Fame. And then it's an injury a lot of times takes, you know, up to 6 weeks to heal. And he ended up missing two weeks, and he wasn't anywhere near 100%. He came back. The Jennings County game was kind of like Colby. He had not hardly played live play for over 2 weeks, and he comes back and we get beat at Jennings County. He's on minutes restriction. But then the next night we played Jeffersonville, and he played better, played pretty well. And, you know, you could just see within, you know, probably the next three weeks, there were times he just didn't have that explosiveness. And then once that came back, our team started playing really well. I think we went a 12-game stretch where I think there was a running clock in nine of them. And then the other three, I think, were New Albany, Bedford, and Providence. And I think the closest out of those three was 16 points. So we had a stretch where we played really well when we were healthy. And then, you know, that happened with Colby, and Jack got sick, and we had some other guys the regional week that we had three guys out with flu A and strep. But back to Jack, you know, he was adamant after the Hall of Fame. He couldn't play in that, and then we probably should have set him out the weekend in Jennings County and Jeffersonville, and he was adamant. You know, I don't care about numbers. I don't care. I just want to try helping my team win and do what I can. But as far as his numbers, he's had a fantastic year. I think he's averaging 25.6 points, 7.5 rebounds, over 5 assists. And I think he's shooting 55% from the field and 44% from the three. So he's had a fantastic year. I've never coached. I'm not sure I've seen a Southern Indiana kid in my 26 years get more defensive attention than what he gets either.
Great stuff from Coach Benner on Jack Benner's son that's headed to Purdue. Coach Wapahani, the championship game coming up a couple weeks from now. Wapahani 26-2. I want to get your thoughts on them, but also, how different is it to win the semi-state, build this momentum this weekend deal, and then you've got a week off now until the state title game because of the way the things are structured this year with the NCAA tournament taking over a lot of Indianapolis. Is that difficult to deal with as a planner and as a coach that's trying to build routines at this point of the year?
You know, I hear so many complaints about it, and for me, I love it. It's fantastic for Brownstown this year. You know, we try getting some guys healthy, and you know, Saturday's just such an emotionally draining day. And then I had a coaches meeting on all day Sunday, and by the time you get to starting to plan, you know, if a game was this weekend, you know, you're already, you know, on a short week. So as far as our team getting healthier and just gives us extra time to plan, I actually love it. It's really good for Brownstown Central this year.
Great stuff. Dave Benner, the coach of Brownstown. Coach, thanks for always coming on to chat with us. Again, I join a lot of folks in Southern Indiana in wishing you the very best here at the state championship game, and we hope that you could bring it home.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Benner with us on this Tuesday show. That's going to wrap things up. We'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.